You're listening to the Carboline Tech Service Podcast. I'm Jack Walker. I'm a senior tech service engineer. And with me, as always, is the director of tech service, Mr. Paul Ajamis.
Good news, everyone. Episode 3 is here.
Yippee, we made it. They didn't shut us down. They actually like it. This might turn into a thing.
This might be a thing.
Paul, joining us today is Eric Humbert. Eric is a senior chemist here at Carboline. He left us for a little while, but before he left us for a little while and came back as one of our great tank lining chemists, he was one of our great OEM chemists, which is why we brought him in today to talk about Carbothane 8845.
Morning, Eric.
Morning, Paul. Morning, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Well, Eric, it looks like Carbothane 8845 is one of our aliphatic polyurethanes that we use as a direct metal option. Is there anything you can tell me about this product? Where it came from? How we got to it? What we use it for?
Yes, 8845 was developed as a lower VOC, higher solids version of the Carbothane 8812, 8815 family. So used in similar applications for light industrial corrosion protection for DTM. And then for additional corrosion protection, can be used over a CarboGuard 8922 or CarboZinc 8701 type epoxy material.
So I have noticed in the past the 8922 CarboGuard epoxy, we have some really fast recoat windows. Is there anything you can tell me about how this system was meant to be?
Yes, with the 8922, the 8845 can be applied within, 15 minutes in a wet-on-wet type situation to give you a higher throughput and faster cure time for this type of system, two-coat system.
So we also have a bake schedule, a force cure schedule for that 8845. So with that, you can apply your 8922 and then real quickly get your 8845 on and then force cure it and have a total system in probably less than a couple hours, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You can cure it, the force cure, the two-coat system at 150 degrees or 180 degrees Fahrenheit. Typically, you're going to have a flash time of 20 minutes once the 8845 is applied, and then your dwell time in the oven will be anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, depending on your temperature, and then another 10 or 15 minutes of cool down, and then you should have a two-coat system that's dry to handle that it can be packaged up and shipped out.
So what about the color and gloss retention of this product? How's it rank compared to other urethanes on the market?
It's very good. The 8845 has good gloss retention, color retention, a little bit better than 8812, slightly not quite as good as the 134HG product, but still very good. It's a level 3 urethane.
So that's SSPC, paint 36. Level 3. So what that standard is that's the highest level for a urethane for color and gloss retention as deemed by SSPC.
That's correct.
Eric, with this being a direct to metal coating, does this have a good corrosion resistance?
Yeah, it has fairly good corrosion resistance. Being a thick film, that certainly helps good barrier properties. Again, like I said earlier, it should be used more for a light and corrosion type protection. If you need higher corrosion protection, you would certainly want to use a epoxy primer underneath it, like we mentioned earlier.
By thick film, one of the things we were talking about is with the 71% solids by volume, this product we recommend typically in a 3 to 5 mil dry film thickness range, where most of our urethanes, you're looking a little thinner. They're at 2 to 3 mil is the standard recommendation.
That is correct.
So I noticed when I looked at the performance data sheet that's in Carbolink for the 8845, there's a test called the gravelometer test. Can you explain to me what that is, Eric?
The gravelometer test is a test to look at the chip resistance of a coating and or coating system. In that test, you take a certain size rock gravel mixture, and it is shot at a panel that's at an angle where at 70 PSI. And you look to see how much paint gets removed. So this test is to simulate gravel being thrown up on a road when you're traveling in a vehicle. So the gravelometer test is for trailer usage with the 8845, since that product is used on trailers.
So that's a good point that you bring up. That's typically a test that's done in the automotive industry, and somewhere along the line, 8845 kind of got the reputation that it was a quote-unquote automotive-grade finish, but that's not really what 8845 is. It's a high-level industrial finish, correct?
That is correct, yes. It has relatively good appearance when it comes to urethane. Does not have the appearance you'd have in an automotive-type system. Those coatings are typically a lot lower in film thickness, and it's usually multiple layers. But yes, the 8845 does have good appearance.
Also, I noticed that the 8845 has decent chemical resistance. Can you comment on that, Eric?
Yes, the chemical resistance is fairly good. It would be good more for incidental contact with chemicals. Certainly not an immersion. It has good MEK resistance. When you do an MEK rub, the show cure. And that's due to the cross-linked nature of the urethane and the acrylics that are used in the resin side.
So it looks like we've done some testing to ensure that it's resistant to the chemicals it's likely to come in contact with, basically being gasoline, diesel fuel, motor oil, those types of things.
That's correct. Just incidental contact where it might be spilled onto a substrate or something that's coated with 8845.
All right, to summarize it all up, what we have here is a direct-to-metal aliphatic polyurethane that's high solids, could go on at about 3 to 5 mils, has good chip impact resistance, has a good chemical resistance, and has decent corrosion protection that's also fairly low in silica. Eric, now you're in tank linings, so what are you working on these days?
Been working on a epoxy project for Petrobras in Brazil. It'd be a product for down there, and I'm not sure what else will be coming up in the future, but I'm sure there'll be other ones to come.
Well, thanks for stopping by, Eric. It was good to see you today. Until next time, I'm sure we'll bring you back again. You have a good one.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Eric. Have a good day.
Joining me today for the insider interview is Ryan Zabel. Ryan Zabel's been with Carboline for about 10 years. He started off in the applications department, spent some time in tank linings. He's back in the applications department, and he's running our pump rental program for us. That's why we brought him in today. How's it going, Ryan?
Great. How about you, Jack?
Doing well. We have this new pump rental program that's been launched, and we just kind of want to cover it and tell everybody, you know, what we have, where they can get it. So how many pumps do we have, Ryan?
Currently, we have in stock three different pumps, a 1-to-1 ratio, a 2-to-1 ratio, and a 4-to-1 ratio.
Ryan, are these pumps dedicated for any type of coating technology?
Yes, sir. The 1-to-1 and the 4-to-1s are typically used for epoxies, 100% solids, and the 2-to-1 is going to be used for a Reactamine 760 urethane.
That's great. So these pumps, I've seen them, they're quite impressive. They've been in the red bucket and think even on Twitter for Carboline. I understand you shot an upcoming video with them explaining the pumps that should be coming out for marketing soon.
We did.
Great. So if I were a customer or a sales rep and I wanted to rent one of these pumps, what's the process that I would go through?
Very simple, easy process. Anybody who is able to fill out a panel request is able to access the pump rental request form. All you have to do is get onto CarboLink, request form templates, and request a pump. It's easy as that, Jack.
So right there under forms and requests, there's a rental agreement there. Typically, do you want the requests to come directly from the sales reps?
Yes, sir. Please give me an email. That's going to be a lot easier way to contact me, and we can get the ball rolling as soon as possible.
What's the best email to send that request form into?
You can email the completed request to pumprental@carboline.com. It also states that in the top right-hand corner of the request form, Jack.
Excellent. What's the typical turnaround time for a pump?
Usually we like to have about a week in advance, but we will do whatever it takes to get the pump out on job site if it's available.
Have you had any rentals to this point?
Yes, sir. We've had two successful rentals so far.
That's outstanding. Ryan, everything sounds great. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for your time.
And now it's time for our Ask a Tech Service Engineer question. Remember, this is a podcast for you, and we want to hear from you. So send in those questions to
technicalservice@carboline.com, subject line podcast, and we'll get to those questions in a future episode.
Today's Ask a Tech Service Engineer question is: coatings manufacturers often use ASTM D4060 as the way to qualify a material's abrasion resistance. Can you explain this test and quantify the result?
I sure can, Jack. This is a common test that we see a lot of people, a lot of companies reference when they're talking about evaluating materials. It's commonly known as the Tabor abrasion test. And basically what it's doing is it's looking at some way of evaluating the amount of material lost through an abrasion process.
So what is that abrasion process?
So the process that they go through is they take a disc that's approximately, usually it's a square 4x4 or about a 4-inch wide disc, and they put it onto a turntable.
So for those of us that are old, about the size of, you know, that hard disc, you know, after a floppy disc, but, you know, kind of slightly bigger than a CD maybe, in that kind of ballpark.
It is the Save icon.
Yeah.
So that disc sits on a turntable and rotates around while these hard abrasive discs sit on it, and abrade away the coating as it's going in circles.
So it's kind of like a record player.
It really is. It's like a record player, and those big abrasive discs are like the needle that's on the record player.
So yeah, like you said, those discs are like the needle on a record player, and there are different levels of that abrasiveness. And so typically what you see in the coating industry is a CS17 wheel, which is the harshest wheel that you have for that type of disc.
That's correct. And what we normally look at is 1,000 cycles around is the standard way that most companies use to evaluate that. They go the CS17 disc with 1,000 cycles, and they measure the amount of weight loss that's done. There are two other methods that they could be using to evaluate it. They could look at it as to how much loss is in a single rotation, or they could be looking at it to say how many cycles to remove a mil of coating.
So what's important to remember here is when you're comparing abrasion loss numbers that you are comparing apples to apples, that you are looking at the same wheel and the same number of cycles. You wouldn't want to compare Led Zeppelin to New Kids on the Block.
No, there's no comparison there, Jack.
One other thing to talk about when we talk about the abrasion resistance is that some of the coatings that have high abrasion resistant additives actually do poorly in this test.
That usually has to do with the shape of that additive as it's put into the coating. When they're put in small or spherical particles, they can actually compact in very nicely and they lead to very high numbers.
So when you take an additive like glass flake that typically does really well out in the real world, what happens is you have your panel coated and it starts spinning around, and that sandpaper wheel actually, instead of abrading down the coating, pulls out a whole chunk of that glass flake, causing you to have a deceptive number when you weigh your weight loss after your cycles.
Right, that's a typical thing that we see with a plate-like additive that's put into these some of the coatings.
Typically, we would consider anything under 100 milligrams loss after that 1,000 cycles with CS17 to be a decent abrasion-resistant coating. The really abrasion-resistant coatings are usually down in the 50 or less.
That's correct. And sometimes you'll even see some that get down into the teens, which are truly exceptional abrasion resistance. And anything under 50 is usually where companies start calling them highly abrasive resistant.
That does it for this week on the Carboline Tech Service Podcast. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember, this is for you. So send us in an email to techservice@carboline.com. Put podcast in the subject title, and we'll see you next time.